Welcome to a special edition of the 155 Election Podcast, the Ward 8 Hamilton City Council by-election. Episode 170.
Barry Quinn, you are running for city councilor in the Ward 8 by-election. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Barry Quinn. I'm running in the by-election for Ward 8 councilor. I grew up in Hamilton's East End in a wartime house. My dad was a Hamilton firefighter, and I'm one of five children who are all involved in Hamilton's sports programs. I married my high school sweetheart, and we have four children, three of who live in Hamilton today. I rode and relied on the Hamilton Street Railway, played in the parks. I swam in the municipal pools. I was a lifeguard on Hamilton Beach and a crewman on the police boats. I worked in the steel mills of Hamilton. I know and love Hamilton. I returned to Hamilton 13 years ago. Hamilton, Ward 8, is my home.
Why are you running for Ward 8 councillor, and why should we vote for you?
I believe that I have the experience and qualifications to quickly move into the role as your councillor, dealing with matters that affect the ward and the city as a whole. I love this city, and I want to make it a place where people want to visit, a place where we can be proud of. I see our downtown deteriorating. I find myself on congested roads in Hamilton that are in great need of repair. I feel the pinch of unrealistic tax increases and want to do something about it for all of us. I believe that I have the common sense and the ability to make good sound judgments that are based on my experience and general knowledge. It's time for positive action at City Hall. I will bring that positive attitude to the council table.
Do you live in Ward 8, yes or no?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on residency and representation?
Well, I believe living in the ward gives you more of a stake in ensuring the ward gets proper representation at the council table. We need a representative with a strong voice at the council table.
What are two of your citywide priorities for Hamilton?
Well, finding ways to hold the line on tax increases. We have to find new ways to do things. We have to do studies in-house, not send them out for costly consultants. We already have in-house experts to provide the answers by way of those in-house studies. That's the way it should be happening at City Hall, and that's what I would push for. I'd like to find ways to clean up Hamilton's downtown and create ways of highlighting Hamilton's unique attractions in the effort to attract tourists and investors to our city, boosting our local economy. The newly developed TD Coliseum, the First Ontario Concert Hall, the Convention Center, Hamilton Stadium, some of us call Tim Hortons Field still, and our waterfront are unique Hamilton attractions. We need to make Hamilton downtown a destination place for people to come to and enjoy.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 8?
First, safety on our city streets. The congestion on our arterial streets leads to drivers taking alternative routes to their destination on interior roads. We need to find ways to keep traffic moving on main corridors through synchronized traffic lights. We should be looking at installing speed control bumps or ripple strips on interior roads and neighborhoods where those vehicles should be. We need traffic guards in some areas of the community to ensure safe crossings of major roads in the ward. Secondly, in my travels throughout the ward, I found many areas where the roads and sidewalks are in great need of repair. One road has not been serviced since installed 60 years ago. There is grass growing up in the cracks of the road. Many areas need to be looked at, and I will take it upon myself to do a street-by-street analysis of every street in the ward. I will endeavor to have updated those streets in the ward that are of the greatest need of repair. That's my commitment. That's what I'll follow through on.
The city of Hamilton is facing a fiscal crisis. According to the city's own financial projections, the city's discretionary reserve is forecast to be down to just $1 in 2027. The city's last fiscal update was in November 2023, so none of us know the current state of city finances. In November 2026, when the new council term begins, decisions will need to be made. What are your thoughts on this coming fiscal cliff, and how do you plan to approach budgeting?
Good question. I believe line-by-line budgeting is the main thing. Line-by-line, looking at every item on the budget list. One of the things we're going to have to consider is user fees. What that might be, I don't know. I would like to look at those things. There may be user fees that could be used against or as an alternate to the property tax base. We should look at those and see whether there's a way. And I know that I've heard from seniors who are having a very difficult time at this particular point in time. When their houses have escalated in value, their taxes have risen so high, and they can't pay their taxes. They have to make a decision. Do I pay my taxes, or do I buy food to feed myself and my family? We need to find ways to find extra revenue to fund the city services. We have to reduce spending and ensure we meet provincial mandated targets to cash in on provincial incentives. Going back to that whole concept is we need line by line look at the budget. I've been there, and I want to do that again, and I'll do it on your behalf and my behalf as well.
As Ward 8 Councillor, you will have around $2 million per year in discretionary funds to allocate. How do you plan to manage these funds?
That's a really good question. One of the things that I've already indicated is I want to do a road-by-road analysis throughout the whole ward. There's many roads and sidewalks within the ward that need to be serviced. I would consider that and look at that discretionary fund to manage those things. I've been walking through the ward and looking at the parks. The parks are so well used in this community. I'm actually very impressed by what I see on a daily basis of families in the parks fully utilizing them to make sure, first of all, that the kids and the young people have the facilities that the children need in the parks so they can grow by playing in the parks. There's so many things to look at, and I'll be looking at them on a day-by-day basis and spend that money wisely, or not spend it, but spend it wisely if we have to.
You're promising to improve City Hall. I'm feeling exhausted on this topic because I heard every candidate in the 2022 change election promise they were going to make City Hall transparent. If elected, you have 1 year inside City Hall before the new council term begins in November 2026. How will you use that year to prepare an action plan on transparency for the next council term?
Council has to be open and transparent in everything that they do except for certain things. Those things are legal or staff, or there are questions dealing with other matters that are of a confidential nature. I would propose that any time when we're dealing with matters, especially budget matters, that they're open and transparent and that people know what's going on at City Hall. We have to be transparent at every level. That's the way I work. That's the way I would want City Council to work. And I would, if at any time, if there was being suggested that we go into camera, I would be the first one to question the reasons why. And if they're not there, if the reasons are not there and they don't fit the criteria, we're not going into camera. There's no way, shape, or form, as far as I'm concerned. I'm only one voice on council, but I would try to bring that common sense that I talked about to the rest of council to ensure that the citizens know what's going on behind those closed doors, that they're open.
October 8th, you'll be sworn into office and take your seat in the council horseshoe. On that day, council will vote on zoning reforms, including upzoning Upper James between the Link and Rymel, and residential zoning reform to permit medium-density missing middle housing along minor and major arterial roadways. The housing crisis will be a literal day-one issue for you. How will you approach planning approvals, and how will you use zoning reform to address housing shortages?
Okay, I guess this is, you're right, a very major step in Hamilton's growth. Upper James Street has been really a hodgepodge of different styles of businesses for many, many years. I know Upper James very well. I'll assess the changes to Upper James Street corridor to ensure the changes are reasonable, that the proposed change do not impact unreasonably on adjacent neighborhoods. There's a lot to consider. We have to consider a live-work-play concept in the recommended changes to the corridor. Transit is a large component of that proposed plan that links the A-Line transit route to other routes in Hamilton to create an efficient transit system for Hamilton. The people who are going to be living along that route in the newly developed 6, 4, 6, 8-story buildings, they're going to be living there. They're going to need to get around. Those are going to be affordable units, hopefully. Maybe the only way that they're going to have to get around is by transit. They need to be able to move around the city. I'm going to look at every aspect of that and make sure that it's done in an efficient and effective manner. I go up and down Upper James on a regular basis, as most of us in Ward do. I'm really not very happy what I see there, and I want to make some changes to Upper James in the way that the traffic moves. But that's all part of the new plan, and we'll be looking at that very carefully to ensure that it doesn't affect, in a large way, the people who are adjacent to the Upper James Street corridor.
Let's discuss development charges. Mississauga Mayor Carolyn Parrish was elected on June 10, 2024. She formed a housing task force that first met on July 10th and issued a comprehensive report 6 months later in January 2025. The report's action plan was implemented by a unanimous vote of Mississauga City Council. It creates deep incentives for new market affordable and family housing and has time limits to ensure developers actually build. This proves municipalities can respond quickly to housing market conditions. What are your thoughts on development charges? Do you have goals for development charge reform, and how will you approach this issue if elected?
I guess the only thing I can say about that is that development charges need to be reasonable, or the developers are not going to create new residential units that we deeply need. And any additions on development charges are only going to impact on the affordability of homes for the people who want to live here and move here, especially on those ones that are deeply subsidized units. We need to look at development charges, and I will take a real good look at it when elected to see if there's ways to ensure that developers are continuing to develop and develop affordable housing in a reasonable way. And all of these things need to be put together and looked at. It's something that I'll know better when I get in there.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 8. Upper James is by far Hamilton's most dangerous road, with nearly every section significantly more dangerous than average for both motorists and pedestrians compared to other areas. What is your plan to address safety on Upper James? Does your plan include unpopular but necessary changes? And if so, how do you plan to implement them?
Yeah, as I indicated earlier, Upper James Street is a challenge. We've had studies in the past to improve safety for pedestrians, bicycles, and motor vehicles, but it still remains a concern to all who negotiate Upper James. The section of Upper James between Rymal and Stone Church is, for most parts of the day, a standstill. Motorists take alternate routes on roads that are not made for high traffic. There's a need to move traffic in this area, and investigation into the timing of traffic lights needs to be taken by the traffic department for this stretch of Upper James. I would address staff at City Hall to time the traffic lights in this particular stretch. There's a big concern about the problems on that road, that stretch of Upper James Street, because what happens is, as soon as there's a stop up, they find ways to get around it by going into the streets where they shouldn't be. And that's throughout the whole city. Cars are going on to interior roads where they shouldn't be and causing safety problems. We need to do something about Upper James. I'm not exactly sure what all of that is going to be, but one of them I'd like to start at is traffic lights, not just here, but across the city.
What's your overall plan to address road safety?
So again, there was a time in Hamilton's history that we could drive from Dundurn to the Delta at a speed of approximately 40 kilometers an hour and hit every light green. Same for the other way on King Street from the Delta to the Dundurn. Today we're stopped at almost every traffic light. Traffic becomes congested. Drivers become frustrated. They found alternate routes to travel on roads they shouldn't be on. And I talked about that a minute ago. Our own traffic department needs to set traffic lights and time them to move traffic safely rather than congest the roads. This will keep motor vehicles off of the inner streets, the collector roads, where they shouldn't be, and onto the roads where they should be. The interior roads should not be congested either with cars that should be on the collector roads. Measures should be implemented, and police monitoring in neighborhoods where vehicles are taking alternate routes. That's what I would recommend.
Hamilton Council meetings. Attendance, respect, and focus are all issues. I want to ask you about one specific issue. Councillors leaving, not attending, or not focusing attention on public delegates. What expectation will you set for yourself when it comes to listening to delegations as a councillor?
Well, number one, I'll be at every council meeting unless I take a vacation, and I think we all should make sure that we take vacations away from our work. I've got experience in governance as a member of city council, as a chair of several governor-type roles, as the chair of a police board, as the president of the Ontario Police Board. I've sat on many community groups where I've chaired. It's important that we have attendance. It's important that everybody is at that table to make the decisions of the city that need to be made in a proper manner. It's important also that we have decorum in any meetings to respect what others are saying, even if you don't agree with them. To value the opinions of others in a dignified manner, even if you disagree. Yes, I'll be at council meetings, and I'll make sure that I'm attending every council meeting unless I go on a vacation.
Ontario's Municipal Act was amended to make mayors more powerful and more accountable as the head of council. How do you believe strong mayor powers have changed the role of councillor, and how do you see yourself effectively achieving your platform in cooperation with the mayor and 14 other councillors?
Again, I have the experience to make decisions in a common sense way. And I am positive in nature and want to see the city move ahead into the future in a sustainable way. Council sets policies, and it's council's responsibility to ensure that management and staff carry out the policies in effective and efficient time and manner. When we're setting those policies and when we're setting standards for the city, I don't think it's up to the mayor to be the final say in this. We all have to work collectively and conducively. It's up to the council to ensure that good decisions are made and for the mayor to follow what the council's desires are on behalf of all the citizens of this city. From each ward, we all have to work together to make this a better city.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
I propose a department-by-department in-house analysis to create a customer service attitude of every department, especially the building department. I would propose that future studies are done in-house by our own qualified staff. We've hired qualified people to work in every department of the city. We should no longer be spending huge amounts of taxpayer dollars to do studies that can and should be done in-house.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Well, quality of life, we all want that and everyday needs for sure. I would propose we encourage more groups, community service organizations, to find a way to construct more affordable homes in Hamilton, such as the Hamilton East Kiwanis Program, the Endwell, the Habitat for Humanity. The $6 million fiasco on providing small homes was a disaster. Let's convert empty buildings into affordable housing. And I believe that there's ways of doing that. And while others have said, let's get the big brains to try to decide how to do that, I believe it's let's leave it to the community to figure out. Pull together these service organizations who are providing that type of housing already and see what their thoughts are and how they're going to assist in creating affordable housing. including the churches, who have done an excellent job in providing seniors residential housing and care houses. We do an in-staff house study analysis of the traffic light system. Let's go back to that. We have to improve the flow of traffic. The bumper-to-bumper traffic in Hamilton is detrimental to the quality of air in our communities and a detriment to people to come into our downtown. Something has to happen in that area, and I would recommend that in the very early stages of being elected.
It's August 2026. I'm writing a review of the 4-year council term that is just ending. What 3 words do you hope I'll use to describe your 10 months as a city councilor?
Engaged, responsive, sensible.
What experience has most motivated you to seek a seat on Hamilton City Council?
I guess it's probably my former position as a council member in Burlington, where we were able to keep taxes low, where we were able to build affordable homes. I'm proud of what I've done in Halton to find ways of building affordable homes. I conducted a study throughout the whole of Halton, which led to the Halton housing. I've been a member of various service groups, the Hamilton East Kiwanis. I was president of the Junior Chamber of Commerce, the Rotary Club, provided service to the community in many ways. I was a counselor in both Burlington and Halton Region. I was chair of the Halton Police Services Board, president of the Ontario Police Services Board, and I'm a former Ontario Justice of the Peace. I have the experience to step into the role of city council for Ward 8 right away, and I can start right away to do that job.
Thank you for answering all the questions. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Yeah, thanks, Joey. I believe that I have the qualifications to step right into the position as Ward 8 counselor. I'm used to making complex decisions at a council table and as a justice of the peace in the Ontario courts. I ask you to elect me as your Ward 8 counselor so that I can take my common sense attitudes to the council table. I will be responsive to your calls and keep you informed of what is happening at City Hall. I want a city that has safe streets and quality parks.
Thank you for joining us.